shadow follows me quietly into this new makam. We're both awed by the spacious, rolling green hills. There's so much life around us. There's trees and parks, animal reserves and botanical gardens. The people here are extraordinary. They're friendly, quick to greet, helpful, quite happy to introduce themselves. And sometimes they're even a bit intrusive. There are more shops and stalls than I've ever seen anywhere. Shadow is enthralled by them, especially the fortune tellers. Certainly keeps him out of my hair. A large number of friendly people come forward to greet me, asking all manner of things about me. I answer best as I can, and then they offer to give me the tour. The town appears to be broken up into sectors, all connected with some aspects of spirituality, at least as I understand it. The town square is made up mostly of the fortune tellers. There's tarot cards and palm and aura readers with whom Shadow seems to be hanging out with. And following the road to the east, on a steep hill, there's the magician's and sorcerer's castle. I'm told there are often strange colored lights that float around it at night, as well as sounds of thunder. Because just below them are the alchemists and their warehouse, where most of the explosions and sulfuric clouds occur. And at the far end is a village of people who call themselves shamans, or shamans, I don't know. And next to them are a band of healers. And then to the west, there's the arcade of Wiccans and goddess worshippers. Sounds of drums and whistles echo off the hills along with the screams and howls from the women. Across the lake on the other side, there's a mountain retreat for those interested in hallucinogens, opiates, ayahuasca, and magic mushrooms. In a hushed voice, I am informed of the dark magic on the lake's island. But no boats ever go there. They tell me a story of a war between the main city against denizens of the island, but they would not go into detail. They kept saying that that's another story. Over the past couple weeks, I've begun to find my place here. I am accepted for who I am. I'm no longer the odd man out or the stranger in a strange place. I'm enjoying the group that I get along with. We talk about our experiences, sharing the comedies and tragedies of the Makams. And one evening, as I'm speaking with an older woman named Sarah, I think I see pictures of a boat in a harbor. I mention this and she becomes immediately tearful and excited. "That's your gift," she exclaims. "We all have gifts here, and I think I found yours. You have visual telepathy." Wow. I have the ability to see pictures of what people are thinking. I've checked it out, and it seems to be true 90% of the time. And when I tell Shadow about it, he is sincerely impressed. It is exciting, but what do I do with this? He says I could heal people with the skill and help them know their innermost thoughts and guide them to realizations. Maybe even be a life coach and consultant. You know, I guess I really do have a special gift. Shadow said he'd help me with the marketing and advertising, so I'm going to set up a shop around the shaman village to help people. That way I can make money, do healing, and afford a place to live. there's a knock on the door one evening, and it's an old man.
Pardon the lateness of my visit. I heard you were a Mekong traveler, is that true?
Yes, that was true, but not anymore. I've settled down here. Did you want a healing?
No. My, no. Exactly the opposite. I've been back and forth through these Mekongs many times for centuries. My job is to either answer your questions or kick your lazy butt out of here and get you going again.
Shadow stepped forward.
Sir, he has worked hard to get here. He's been through some rough times, very conscientious and sincere. He just wants to help people.
Yes.
Problem is, he has no idea what that really means. He can't just jump into someone's mind and expect to fix them.
First, who gave you permission? Second, who are you?
You know absolutely nothing about healing or what makes a human fixed.
In a further follow-up, who do you think you are?
I stood up and faced this old geezer. What did he know? I was about to tell him that he doesn't have my gift or my experience. But this old geezer is Abraham.
Your lack of respect tells me that your knowledge is all twisted up and less than minimal. There are a lot of things you've yet to learn.
I was incensed that he thought so little of me. I stood taller and
he placed his hand on my head. Suddenly, I was back in the first village. The smells had grown worse, and I was sitting on a curb, watching sewage and used condoms float sluggishly past my feet. It felt like I'd never been able to find the path out, that I was stuck in this filthy village forever.
Forever. I hate this place. I hate being here. It's closing in on me again. I can't breathe. I'm suffocating. I'm engulfed in hopelessness and nausea. Please, God, get me out of here.
He removes his hand from my head, and I'm back in my shop. I'm grateful that I'm not back there. I step back from the old man, overcome with guilt and a realization that I know so very little about everything, especially me. I see that I'm easily distracted. And now I have allowed Shadow to confuse me. But it's not Shadow's fault. It's mine. And I do not know how any of this works. I know that if I decide to move on to the next Mekong, Shadow will give me much grief. He likes it here too much. But maybe he could stay here and... No, that doesn't work. Maybe Abraham could help me learn about how to make Shadow follow my instructions and even perhaps become a friend. I offer Abraham a seat and some dinner, and as he eats, he says,
"Well, traveler, there are a few more Mekongs to traverse, but only when you are ready. There's no compulsion anywhere along this journey. It's always up to you if you want to continue. If this is your happy place, so be it. But just to make sure you know, there is more. This is not the end."
Abraham smiles.
"The boss, if you want to call it that, is that all of this,"
and he waves his hand at the world outside the window,
"is a distraction. You may be special, but not in the way you imagine."
I thought I was supposed to figure that out so I could leave.
"Oh, you haven't. Not yet. You may hear my words, but their meaning has not yet sunk into your soul.
He stood, thanked me for the food, pats me on the back, and leaves. I sit down and look out the window at the lake. There's another explosion from the alchemist's workshop, rattling the dishes and sending a green cloud swirling upwards. I place the used dishes into the sink. I open the front door and lean against the frame, reflecting on how I got here. Under my breath, I whisper, "Please, whatever you are, please guide me. Please help me to know you." Finally, I could hear my heart speak so quietly, so gently. It seemed to say, "You cannot move forward until you have cleaned up the past." I knew that I needed to return to the first level, make the time and energy to repair what I could, perhaps even plant a garden after I removed the broken glass, tires, and refrigerators rusting away in the empty lots. "Yes," acknowledges my heart. "That's good enough for me." Salaam alaikum, Marids, seekers, curious, and interested listeners. We appreciate you and are happy to share our Sufi message. Your donation will help support our Sufi center in Sydney, where we do zikr, sobat, spiritual counseling, and healing services. We believe the message should be free, but it costs equipment, rental, services, software, and hardware to get this to you. So thank you for choosing our podcast among all the millions available. If you go to our website, AnsariSufiOrder.org, you will be able to donate through PayPal whatever you think this information is worth to you. Blessings and love, the Australian Ansari Sufi Order.